with you tonight. We've enjoyed the Lord in song today and worship. We've spent a little time in His Word this evening. It's nothing like the Word of God. Now, I want to deal with a subject tonight that really been on my mind. Ecclesiastes. I want to deal, just touch on some things tonight. I guess when you've been at a church long as I have, you get to thinking, well, they've heard everything I've got to say. But I found this out. If I'll just stay in the Bible, then there'll be things that we can cover that me and you hadn't heard in a long time. Aren't you glad the Word of God never gets old? It's new every morning. I want to say publicly, I thank God one day for saving me. Calling me to do the greatest office in America, to be a preacher. I'm thankful that He's given me one of the greatest churches in the country. I was looking over some outlines this evening. Just thumbing through, and Brother Mike, I was thinking, my goodness, I don't see how people sit and listen to me now, but I sure don't know how they listened to me 20 years ago. I mean, things I got wrote down, I don't want even want to read myself. But I'm going to tell you something. When a man or woman gets older, life changes. Everything changes. There was a man who scared me one time. He said, the older you get, so you're going to lose your tears and your shout. I'm glad I've not lost near one of them tonight. God's sweeter to me. He's precious. He's lovely. I've met a lot of people, but I've never met nobody like Him. Now I want you to notice what your Bible says this evening, the book of Ecclesiastes. If you that can will stand and honor the reading of the Word of God, found in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 1. I want to read 4 verses. Here the Bible said, the words of the preacher, the son of David. This was Solomon, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities means emptiness, means nothing, means a void. And you know, a lot of people in this day and hour, they're trying to fill a void with vanity. God has put a spot in me and you that only He can fill. He said, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? One generation passeth away and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. You may be seated tonight. Father, we love You. We thank You for the good grace of God. We thank You for the Word of God. Lord, we thank You how good You've been to us this day. I pray now You let preaching be easy tonight. You'd touch us and use us to be a blessing. I pray that You'd bring things to my mind and heart that I've studied this week. Help us tonight. If it be one here lost, I pray that You'd deal with them. And I pray that You'd grant unto them that of Your great salvation. touch those on our prayer list at our church. Dear God, we need you so. And we'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything that you do for us this night. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. I want to preach a simple message tonight on verse number one on the words of the preacher. The words of the preacher. Isn't it amazing now that as Solomon is writing Ecclesiastes, he wrote three books mainly, Song of Solomon, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. And now we find Solomon as an older man in life, and it seems that we can get great wisdom and great advice from an older man that has known God. Now here, I want to say three things tonight on the words of this preacher. I want us to look at the preacher's sermon. I want us to look at the preacher's subject. Then I want us to close with the preacher's summary. Now notice, here in chapter 1, verse 15, Solomon has something to say. And here, about this thing of the preacher's sermon, look in Ecclesiastes 1 and 15. He said, I want you to know that I tried that of learning. He said, that which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I commune with mine own heart, saying, lo, I'm come to great estate. I've gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yeah, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. Now, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief. And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Now here is Solomon is writing these words of the preacher. We see his sermon. He gives us a sermon about learning. And then notice in chapter 2, verses number 1, he gives us a sermon about his laughter. He said, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth before I enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine. Now we hear an older man writing, it seems like he's got a lot of regrets in his life. Somebody said that as a young man, there are lots of mistakes. As a middle-aged person, there's a lot of struggles. But here's Solomon as an older man. He seems to be a man full of regrets. The older that I get in the Lord, I want to finish the race right. I don't want to finish with a lot of regrets in my life that I didn't do that which God had bidded me to do. Solomon in his sermon, he said, now, I've tried learning. And it seems like that learning without Christ was just vanity. We have a lot of educated morons in this day, in this hour about learning. Oh, they're sitting in the ivory towers and we've sacrificed our children to much learning. You asked America what the answer to our problem is. What went on yesterday in Virginia? They'll say, well, they need more learning. Solomon said, I was the wisest man that had ever lived, but it brought me vanity. Tonight, the preacher's sermon says he tried learning. Then he says that he tried laughter. He said, you know, I said of laughter it is mad, and of mirth what doeth it? He said in mine heart, go to now prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. He said, I tried some things in life. I want to say something about laughter tonight. Proverbs 17 and 22, some of you need to know a little more about it. Matter of fact, if some of you would smile and let your face in on that you got saved, it would help everybody. But in Proverbs 17, verse 22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bone. Now, I'm glad that God can give us some things to enjoy, that when laughter comes, and it like a good medicine, it helps us in this day and in this hour. There's nothing wrong with having a good time being a Christian. Solomon said, he had tried learning. He had tried laughter. And then look in chapter 2, verse number 3, he said, I even tried liquor. He said, I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine. It sounds like here's a man that's searching in life to find something that would fill a void. I hear a lot of people say, well, these troubles I've got, said, I'll go to the bottle and I'll drown my troubles. But honey, I come to tell you tonight, you'll soon find out that your troubles can swim. You can't drown them out, but Jesus can take all of our troubles tonight. He said, oh, I tried learning. I tried laughter. It done me good a little while. And he said, I tried the liquor. You know, this is something about liquor, young people. The Bible simply says wine is a mocker. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. It's bigger than you are and it's bigger than I am. I don't believe in social drinking tonight. I tell you the reason I don't believe in social drinking, because a drunkard took one drink one time. I don't trust myself. I'm crazy enough without liquor. And so tonight, he said, I tried liquor. He said, I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainted mine heart with wisdom and lay hold on folly. You know, this is a sad, sad thing I've seen in so many lives. Listen to me tonight, young people. If you try liquor, if you try drugs, there'll probably be a time in your life that you'll want to leave them alone, but there's an issue with all that. Trust you, preacher, tonight, it won't leave you alone. There's been a lot of men wanting to quit the bottle, but the bottle wouldn't quit them. So Solomon said, all is vanity without God. He said, I tried learning. You know, some of the most miserable people is real educated people that know not Christ. Matter of fact, we've never had as much readable material as we have. I was reading after a man from 1845 to 1945. If we did a span of the things of learning and wisdom and knowledge in our country, it would only be about this long. But from 45 to 2015, the building wouldn't house it. We have more knowledge and there's more learning than it's ever been, but people seem to be the craziest that they've ever been. Learning don't fix stupidity. And so the preacher's sermon, he said, I tried learning. I tried laughter. He said, I tried liquor. Then chapter 2, verse 4, he said, I tried luxuries. Let me tell you, if you looked at Solomon and you said, he's got it going on. He said, I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water with the wood that bringeth forth trees. He said, I got me servants and maidens. I had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. He had great luxuries. He said in verse number 8, I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and the provinces. I got me men singers, women singers, the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Solomon tried that of luxuries. There's nothing wrong with having things, but have you ever noticed this in luxuries? If you get this, it's never enough. You want something else. You know, your mind and your heart will fool you. You'll think, boy, I could remember when I was a young kid, I thought if I could ever get a bicycle. Man, if I could ever get a bicycle. You know, we cut them cardboard flaps out. We put clothespins on the spokes and make that thing make sound going down the road. Man, we was in high cotton if you had a bicycle make a noise. And I could just remember, man, when I got the bicycle, it wasn't good enough. If I could just ever get my driver's license. And then I said, man, if I could just ever get 18, I'm leaving this place. And I did. Isn't it amazing? Solomon could save us a lot of hard knocks if we'd listen to him in the Bible. He said, I tried luxury. He said, I had everything. You know, we're in a culture, we're in a generation tonight that I see, and I've really pondered on this statement. 40 years ago, we lived in an era where people had very little of things. But we live in a day and hour where God has blessed us so many of us have many things. And now we become a society and a culture that is so busy keeping up things. It's nothing wrong with having things. Just don't let things have you. I believe that we must purpose in our heart that things don't take place of the worship of God. I think God's house should be a priority. I know we have to work. I understand that. But yet, there's a lot of times that we make an excuse when really luxuries has gotten so big in our hearts and our eyes. Solomon said that luxuries let me down. Then look what he said in verse 10. He said in this preacher's sermon, he said, I tried learning, I tried laughter, I tried liquor, I tried luxury. He said, I even tried the lusts of this old world. Look what he said, verse 10, whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. So we know Solomon had 700 wives, 300 concubines. No doubt Solomon was a very lustful man. We live in a generation, in an economy, when lust is rampant tonight. Sin is still sin. Shacking up, still shacking up. Adultery, still adultery. And in the eyes of God, we must be careful that we stay within the boundaries of what God has put in our lives. So therefore, Solomon said, I tried the lust, but it never did satisfy. Then in verse number 11, he said, I tried labor. He said, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I'd labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. You know, we say this a lot of times. You've heard it to be said comical, but I've seen this in the ministry that God's put me in. I've never preached a funeral yet where there was a U-Haul behind anybody. We're not taking nothing out of this world. And so, God, I want to say something tonight, young people. God has designed that we work. By the sweat of the brow, I believe the Bible says, if a man not provide for his house, then he's worse than an infidel. I believe a man ought to work and provide. But remember, Solomon said, I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor I'd labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. the preacher's sermon. I love listening to a preacher that preaches by experience. One of the greatest preachers I've ever heard in my life is Brother LaVon Boatner. I'd asked Brother Boatner several years ago to be my preacher. I remember listening, and I would just hold on to this one story. He'd give me a Bible verse, and he'd give me an illustration. And the reason these men are so valuable to me, they've lived the sermon. And I want to say tonight that Solomon is preaching. He said, I've lived this sermon. He said, vanity of vanities. He said, everything in this world without God is vanity. Preacher's sermon. Secondly, the preacher's subject. Chapter 3, verse number 1, watch your Bible. To everything there's a season and a time. To every purpose under the heaven. It's a time to be born. It's a time to die. None of us are going to get by that. It's a time to plant. It's a time to pluck up. It's a time to kill. It's a time to heal. Time to break down and time to build up. As a young preacher, I just thought it was time to kill everything. But now you see a preacher that's preaching older, he's balanced. He said, there's a time about everything. Can I tell you, God's very involved in timing. God's all about timing. Some of you are wanting God to do things for you and open big doors. It's all about timing. It's on God's timing. God's doing things out there that me and you cannot do. And He's doing things back here that we cannot see. And He brings things together because of His timing. It's a time to weep. Time to laugh. It's a time to mourn. Even a time to dance. Time to cast away stones and time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Sounds like to me that God wants us to have balance about everything. A time to get. It's a time to lose. It's a time to keep and a time to cast away. It's a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate and a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Isn't it amazing how God in your Christian life will allow two tracks to be in your life as a train? One track seems to bring trouble, and difficulties, heartache and despair. The other track brings in the goodness and the grace of God and the encouragement of God and how good He is. God is a God of great balance. Just because you're a Christian tonight, don't think that you'll never have hard times. This Bible says we're going to have hard times. If you listen to the farewell preachers of the day, they'll promise you health and prosperity. But that's not in your Bible. There's a time to kill, time to laugh, time to cry, time to be quiet, it's time to speak. May God help us to know our time. So this evening, the preacher's subject is the time for everything. And then look in verse number 9. Not only there's the time for everything, there's a toil for everything. I wish life got easier. I declare, life gets harder. When I was a young man, things didn't bother me that bothers me tonight. Well, I could sit in a house with 7 young'uns screaming, squalling, kicking, fighting. Man, you let 3 get down now and I say, look, y'all got to take these young'uns out of here. I'm having a nervous breakdown. And so, life is hard. Then I want to say tonight, there's a time for everything. It's a toil for everything. Look what he says now, chapter 3, verse number 9. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I've seen the travail which God hath given the sons of men to be exercised in. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know there's no good in them for a man to rejoice and do good in this life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. God doeth it, and men should fear before Him. The preacher's subject, it's about time, it's about toil. Then you'll notice it's also about termination. He said in verse 18 of chapter 3, I said in mine heart, now watch this, concerning the estate to the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them as the one dies. So dieth the other. Yeah, they have all one breast. So that a man hath no preeminence above a beast for all his vanity. You know what he's saying? We're going to die. All go into one place. All are the dust. And all turn to the dust again. Our body, but not our soul and spirit. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion, for who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? Preacher's subject, he talked about time. Time's important. Make the most out of your time. And then, I want to close with these three thoughts tonight. Not only we see this preacher's sermon, this preacher's subjects, but lastly tonight, look at this preacher's summary. Now, chapter 12, he says something. Ecclesiastes 12 of the last chapter, he says, death is certain. You know, when I was a young man, I didn't think about dying much. Some of the things I did, I've got myself convinced. I mean, people amaze me at how they play with death. Jump out of an airplane. Skydive. Them high wires down in Whitesburg, y'all crazy getting on that stuff. But look what it says. The preacher's summary. He summarizes death is certain. Now, I want you to watch something in your Bible in Ecclesiastes 12. And I want you to underline a few things I want to highlight tonight. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Now he starts about getting old. He goes to talking about getting old. Look what he says. He talks about the legs in verse 3. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. He's getting to be an older man now, and his legs is not as stable as he used to be. And the strong men, his back shall bow themselves. Have you ever seen an older man bent over? Look here. And the grinders cease, talking about the teeth leaving, because they're few. And those that look out of the windows being dark, and my eyes aren't near as sharp as they used to be. Matter of fact, I can't even hardly tell time without my glasses. What you saying, preacher? I'm saying death certain. Then he says, and the door shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. Your hearing goes to leave you. You shall rise up at the voice of the bird. Man, I used to sleep through thunder and lightning. Now the door can crack and I jump up. Now all the daughters of music shall be brought low. And they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. And then almond trees shall flourish. Some of y'all's turns white, and some of it turns loose. Watch this. Now, I've got Bible for being real nervous the older I get. A grasshopper shall be a bird. Things get on your nerves. I remember my mom and dad in an old house, you know, you could throw a cat through the cracks most anywhere, but crickets would get in the house. My daddy said, "Lord, we got to kill that cricket before we go to bed." I said, "What cricket? No cricket in here. Little things go to getting on your nerves." He said, "And your desire shall fail. Energy gone." Can I get a witness tonight? Some folks, young preachers say, "Hey, Brother Ken, won't you run and jump pews no more?" I used to get up at 2 in the morning and come home at 8 at night. That's over with. And watch this. He said, "Because a man goeth to his long home and the mourners go about the streets, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher, the lungs be broken at the fountain, the heart, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Solomon's been a foolish man. Solomon has been a man that had wisdom like nobody else ever had wisdom. Solomon was the richest man that had ever lived. One of the writers yesterday spoke that he would make $4 billion a year in today's economy. He got out of bounds with God. He got lustful. He got the living loose. And he's an older man now, and he's writing us a sermon. And he says, "You know what?" He said, "All them things I was chasing, they're vanity. They're vanity." He said, "You know what I figured out? I'm getting old. I'm fixing to die." Can I tell you, just because you're young don't mean that you won't die tonight. Preacher's sermon. The preacher's subject. The preacher's summary. He said, "Death's certain." Number two. He said, "Not only is there a death that is certain," he said, "there's a duty that is commanded." Verse 13. Brother Jerry spoke about something Wednesday night I thought about several times that he said this week. It's found in verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You know, it's still right to live by the commandments. We that are saved ought to strive to keep them every day. Matter of fact, if you want to fix this world, let everybody live by the Ten Commandments. It'd fix it. But there's an issue. Can't nobody live by all of them. The law was our schoolmaster. It showed us how imperfect we were. Anybody ever wanted to really... I mean, now you really did want to do something right, but your flesh reared up on you. I love what Brother Mike said one time. He said, "Preacher, you know, I think we have more problems with the flesh than we do the devil." I agree with that. But he says, death is certain, but there's a duty that is commanded. He said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God tonight. I'm glad that when I fall, that I don't have to go to the high priest. I'm glad that I can fall on my knees and talk to the high priest tonight. the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For He said, if we would confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And also I read in the Bible tonight, whatever God does, He does forever. He saved me in August 1981. I'm glad I'm still saved in August of 2017 tonight. What God does, He does forever. Preacher's summary, death is certain. We're going to die. Are you ready to meet God? The Bible said you must be born again. It's not an option. You must be born again. Death is certain. There's a duty that is commanded. He said, I want you to hear the conclusion. Fear God. You know, that doesn't mean to be afraid. It means to respect Him. Give Him right of way. We don't fear God in our country. And keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And then there's not only any summary about death is certain and duty is commanded, but a decision is commended. Lastly, verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment. You remember this. With every secret thing. Whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now I want to say something. All of us naturally have secrets. Everybody here does. And you're a phony if you say, I don't. Oh, yes, you do. You don't want to get up here and tell everybody what you thought today. Because we're human. We're flesh. I want to say something. Since the day I've got saved, I've always wanted to do right. I can truthfully out of my heart say that. When I sin, it bothers me. And God's going to shine light on every secret thing. You that has made a profession of faith and don't have Christ, He's going to bring it to light. You that has done your brother and sister wrong, God's going to shed light on it. For God shall bring every work into judgment. You know what God's going to do? He's going to say, Ken Bowman, them nights you got up there and you stood in that pulpit, why was you preaching? Why was you singing? Why was you teaching? Why was you working out back? You know, things keep me in check so much as a preacher. A lot of people say, well, I don't like Brother Ken's preaching. When I said, I tell you why a lot of people don't like your preaching, because you're so honest. But I want to say something tonight. I keep my heart in check. Not only about what I do, but why I do it. God, because you saved me. You love me. You've called me to preach. And you've told me that I'm not in charge of results. If a preacher gets up and crows when God is a blessing about how good He's doing, then when God ain't a-doing nothing, he ought to get down on himself. But when God is a blessing, and that preacher says, to God be the glory, and when it seems like God ain't doing nothing, to God still be the glory, results is up to God. Preachers didn't write the Bible, they read the Bible. So it ought to keep all our hearts in check to try to live for God every day of our life. We all going to have mistakes. And you know, this is where churches collapse and become non-effective. When people make a mistake and mess up, they throw them under the pew. But let me tell you, there's right ways to doing things, church. We're to tell our brother and sister we're sorry and we've made a mistake. We apologize to one another and we ask God to forgive. And all we can do after that is get up and keep a walking for the glory of God. That's all we can do. And Jesus said, they'll know you are my disciples. Not about how many buses you run, not about how big your church gets, not even how many missionaries you run. He said, they shall know you are my disciples if you have love one to another. I'm glad He loves us tonight. And I love Him.
You know why I love him? Because he first loved me.